Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Extreme Gaming Podcast episode 235. It's June 27th, 8 p.m. BST, even though I'm in the USA. And today on the show we have...
Hello, it's Trev, and don't forget the Trek Wave for all your Star Trek goodness. Hello.
And I am Hans, known as Megal from Hell, still alive.
All the other times you said still alive, does that mean that you really weren't alive at that time?
I'm basically the real-life version of The Walking Dead sometimes. But
I think Elden Ring has both killed him in real life and his character in-game. It's that hard, which we'll talk about.
I just beat a boss like 2 minutes ago before we started the show, so all good.
No.
You know, I thought it was cool. I think you're the one that Hans posted in the in our chat on the Discord before we get into some other things. And it was the girl that was playing Elden Ring on a game, on a dance pad.
Yeah, like those Dance Revolution pets and stuff.
I was actually surprised. I couldn't believe it. She was actually doing it. I'm like, wow.
It's insane what some people do. They have the most unique challenges, so to speak, to beat Melania. So I can't do it. Just saying.
Well, anyway, if anybody wants to join in on the fun, of course, we have our people that are online right now in the chat room. If you'd like to join our Discord, please do so. discord.gg/extreme gaming podcast, all one word. If you join us, you'll see all of us. We talk about all kinds of things in the Discord. It's a load of fun. We talk entertainment and Star Trek and games and computers and all that kind of stuff. So please come join, and you can always catch one of us three in there a lot talking about different things. Of course, there's always the Twitch, and thank you for all the Twitch subscribers out there. And if anybody else wants to subscribe, you know how to do that. And basically, if you want any questions, you can submit them in our general chat on the Discord, and we will answer your questions as best as possible. So that's always an option as well. So I think we're going to get into the show a little bit. And first thing, we haven't talked too much tech lately, but we've got some things that have happened in the, out there. And I think the first thing I want to talk about is Intel's new CPU. They're saying that they may have faster clock speeds, but then they're saying there's a catch. And I'm not exactly sure what they mean by a catch. Maybe Hans can shed some light for us.
A quick thing, Gray. Just a quick shout out to LennyBoy79 for the Twitch sub. Thank you, mate. Appreciate it. Love you long time.
Thank you. Go ahead, Hans. Oh, your microphone's not working. What happened?
Technical issues. That's what happens when you take your headset off, mate. You never take your headset off. It's like crossing the streams in Ghostbusters. You just don't do it.
Did you mute? Say something. Anything.
He is. He's trying to.
That's interesting. Okay. technical difficulties, people. Sorry.
I think this is the. Article. Well, not the idea of this article. I discussed briefly a couple of podcasts ago. That these new Intel Arrow Lake processors are going to come along and actually be quite a bit better than they were prior. Now, I follow this stuff like Hans does. I mean, Hans is probably our biggest hardware geek because he literally sells livers, body organs, and children to afford the new GPUs. I'm joking on at least one of those aspects. And he is diehard into this kind of thing. But I watch it as well, and I like to see Intel and AMD fight it amongst themselves because competition is good for business. And we know that Intel, well, for me anyway, Intel are basically are kings at this. That's what they are really, really good at. And these new processors, I've always said this. This is the argument I have with not just Hans, but loads of people. High clock speeds are good for PC games. Not the only thing that are taken into consideration, I know.
Can you hear me now?
We can, Hans.
Yes, we can.
There we go.
Thank you. There you go.
Hey. All right, sorry. What's your... you're one of our hardware guys, Hans. What's your... do you know much about these new Intel chips? And
Is it the one without hyper-threading? That's the catch, I think.
Yeah.
So they got rid of the hyper-threading.
Would you switch possibly?
Well, this is the Intel Arrow Lake.
After your AMD issues, would you possibly switch?
At the moment, there's not really any need to switch because they're both like kind of unattractive, I guess, at the moment. When it comes in my user scenario, right, I just game. I don't do any content creation. I don't do anything of the sort. I just use my PC for gaming. Mm-hmm. And in that case, Intel wouldn't really offer me a lot of benefits at the moment, because when it comes to pure gaming, the 7800 X3D is still the best there is, right? Until a certain point, because maybe you don't know this, we're going a bit deeper now. Have any of you two heard of the AM dip, right? So what basically is the AM dip happens when you're at a really high frame rate, let's say sub 240 FPS, right? So let's say it goes from like, at some point you got 300 FPS and then it tanks all the way down to 200 or 210. Now, for 99% of players out there like us, we don't even get to that limit, right? I have never played a game at 300 FPS. Not sure if you guys ever did that. Mm. And it's mostly in competitive shooters, which I'm going to get back to in a second for the hyper-threading, right? Because if you play games like COD or a few of others that are competitive shooters, apparently hyper-threading does play a big part in those games. I can't speak from experience. It's just something that I heard about. And in that case, yeah, then getting rid of the hyper-threading could be a little bit of a problem.
I thought hyper-threading was almost non-existent in games.
There's a few exceptions, and a few of those competitive shooters apparently are the exceptions. But again, I think that's overall, I think it's a very small demographic, right? I think Intel has the so-called P cores, and they will, apparently they do more for gaming or for some games than hyper-threading did. So I'm guessing that's going to be their way forward. I'm not sure, to be honest.
Do we know how much slower the chips are going to be, Gray? I couldn't see that in the article.
Yeah, I know. I'm sitting there looking at what they're talking about, and they're saying that it's going to be higher, but there's a catch. And I'm sitting there going, like, so what's this catch? And they're saying that if you're looking for the best gaming CPU, it's the boost clock or turbo clock that you want higher rather than the base clock. So apparently they're saying if that's supposedly true, then the rumors are pointing out that the new Intel Arrow Lake chips that are coming are going to be lower than that of the current 14th gen CPUs. And I'm like, so why would you have something that would go lower? Then what's the benefit of the chip then? You know, I don't understand.
Intel's solution for the last few years has been, let's pump a lot of power through it. Maybe there's something in there that they're going to do, because there's a big difference between the power usage from the AMD chip, especially the X3D chips, and the Intel ones. Maybe there's something that they can do.
What about the cache? Because everybody says that you're supposedly, the bigger the cache, the better, period. And I don't see sometimes them talking too much about that. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. So they're looking at clock speeds and everything. That's nice, but I've been hearing different things that the better the cache, the better you are.
I'm not technical enough to give an answer on that one, I guess, but I know that the 3D cache, right, helps in a lot of games, especially with the X3D.
Yeah, that's what Hansi...
What the Extreme Beard there says is true. Intel will always win at overclocking, and if you do anything else besides gaming, I would still say go Intel.
Hmm.
Because at AMD, there's always a lot of small little things that you're going to have problems with. But a lot of small things make a very big problem in the end.
That's going to add up,
Can you tell me, Hans, to the best of your knowledge, right? I don't pretend to fully understand this. The chip that you've got, is it the 5800 or 5853XD? No. Is that what it's called?
The 7800 X3D.
7800. Oh, I'm going down. I'm going back generations. that is the 3D cache that you explained. I always thought that answers your questions, Gray. Cache is important. Mm-hmm. It's not the sole main ingredient on more frames, but it is an important one. Why is that, to the best of your knowledge, really important for AMD instead of going for high clocks? Why not have both? You know?
I think Intel and AMD, they just have different views.
I'm right in saying that your AMD chip has got more cache. So as well as they're stacking things 3D, not just the standard monolithic die that we had before. They're actually stacking things in three dimensions, building up the way so that you can actually fit more cache on there. Cache on a CPU, to my knowledge, is good for repetitive tasks. The CPU will store information there that it knows it will use a lot and call on it really quickly. I can't think how that relates to a video game, but then again, I'm not a video game designer, nor am I a CPU architecture guy. So
same here, though. It stores the information already, so that the PC doesn't have to find it. Like Nick just said, apparently.
I was going to say, bye. Nick just jumped in, the extreme beer, and he's got a whole bunch of things to say.
He did, mate, right? He did. And remember, he had that meltdown. So Hans, for those that don't know, Hans had major issues with his motherboard, right? It just completely gave up on him, and he tried everything to fix this. Thankfully, it was still in warranty, and he took it back to the shop, and he got it sorted. But then, I paraphrase, he said, I'm done with AMD. I'm going to jump ship as soon as I can. And yet he's just saying, there's no point jumping ship yet until it breaks down again.
Money.
Could be years.
Right? Do you know how much Intel chips cost at the moment?
They are expensive.
We're talking about €600 to €700, right? And a new motherboard.
I can send you one over, man. I'll send you one over. Don't worry, mate.
I don't want the 9900K anymore. I've been there.
No, not mine. Not mine yet, Eddie. I want to keep my chip. I'm not giving you my chip. I'll give you one from Turkey.
Oh yeah,
I've had Turkish one. I've had the Ryzen 9 5900X for 3 years now, and I've never had a single problem with it ever.
Yeah, my next upgrade is back to Intel, but this needs a break first.
But Gray, you don't game on the bleeding edge like we do, especially Hans. You're happy, which is fine. I'm not taking the piss. You're happy with 1440p. As long as the frames are more than at least 60 frames, you're happy with it. I'm a 4K gamer at over 100 frames, everything ultra. Hans is in a super wide, which is probably more than 4K at high frames.
No, it's about the same.
When the 5900X came out that year, when I got it, it was the best gaming PC at that time, chip. And it's still pretty darn good. So I'm fine with all that. What I lacked was the GPU, because I had no choice but to get a 3070, because when the prices took off, it was insane. And I was lucky I got the 3070 at the regular price. But then when I had a chance to get the 4070 Super, which ended up costing me relatively nothing, and now I'm getting the frame rates I wanted to have, because my 3070 was having issues trying to get to 60. And now I'm routinely getting 90 to 100.
Can your trackball keep up with all those frames and that sheer?
Oh, that's no problem, especially my new one. Yeah, no problem at all.
They're still making new trackball mouses, seriously?
Yeah, he's got a new one. Do you want to see it? Look at his ball. Look, it does look cool. It's just weird.
This is the new one from the company that makes only mice.
Do you know what it looks like? Nick, you
like a lot of advantages.
No, Nick will appreciate this, right? It looks like a normal, everyday ergonomic mouse, right? But it's grown a tumor on the side of it, on the left-hand side of it, and a ball's just coming out of it, like Hans is saying. It looks like an abomination.
Everybody, when people first talk trackball, they all think of the one in the center, and they do have ones like that. I hate the ones in the center. I don't have good control. I have to have the thumb ball, and the thumb I can move quickly. And have no issues with it.
I've got another question: that how quickly can you flick your ball?
Well, it depends. If you have two of them, then you can flick even quicker. But that's another story.
that's the wrong kind of mouse. It's the wrong kind of mouse.
Not if you have two of them.
Anyway, I think Nick agrees with me. Intel all the way.
Anyway.
Intel's, and listen, pumping more power through it so you get higher clocks. Why does everyone bitch about that? I don't get it. Like Intel make different levels of chips. If you want the bleeding edge, you have to put the horses through it and the power. It's going to get hot, but you can just buy a better cooling rig. You can just get a bigger radiator and cool it. And it sucks more power, but if you're on the bleeding edge, Hans knows this all too rightly, his missus doesn't like the power bill that comes in each month, but that's par for the course. That's what you expect, you know? So I don't have a problem. I'll always be Intel, man. I just can't. And always been an Nvidia man as well, so...
Yeah, same here. I would never buy an AMD GPU, but that's a whole different conversation.
Well, I wouldn't either.
The top end.
I have the true hybrid system. I have the AMD chip and an NVIDIA
You abomination. GPU, so. You abomination, you man.
Yeah, I got
like
that too,
Frankenstein
so,
monster. All right, let's move on to another tech thing I was reading here. They apparently have come out now with 128 terabyte, not gigabyte, 128 terabyte SSDs that are going to be launching in the next couple of months. And I'm like, wow. I mean, that's I got a 4 terabyte, which I thought was big with the games I'm loading on it. And now I'm hearing about 128.
Why is this news article on the podcast today? Is that the best tech news you could find? Right, I'm sacking you. Well, I'm going to be the news guy now.
Thank you. Thank you, Trev.
Wait a minute. The reason I did that is because, first of all, it's pretty amazing they get that much. But a lot of that, of course, is going to go enterprise, rigs and stuff like that. But once that happens, though, they're talking about the trickle down is going to be they're going to be selling like 64 terabyte top end for consumers to pick up on in the very, very near future. So I don't know on prices. They didn't talk about that.
I got a question for both of you and serious answers. 42. Does anyone really care about this?
Nobody cared about 4 terabyte, and yet people are picking them up now all the time.
But I mean, but this is so far removed from consumer grade.
Well, one thing I will say about it is if the latest games, especially, I'm looking at you, COD, keep getting bigger in file size, then next year's COD probably will need a hard drive that bloody big to cope.
Exactly.
That's the exception.
There is another good thing about that too. And if you want to, instead of having a mechanic, now I have a backup mechanical drive that then the drive was meant to be used for only backup and it's just a high quality drive, but still mechanical. So now you have actually get to the point where you could pick up maybe, let's say, a 64 terabyte or less, and you can use that as a backup drive instead of the mechanical. That's an advantage, especially when you back up stuff all the time like I do. So I'm looking forward to it coming out from a backup reason. And because, like you said, if it gets bigger and bigger all the time, these games, I mean, it's crazy. So not having a little extra room doesn't hurt.
True.
It's something down the line that keep our eyes on. See,
I got a 2 terabyte M.2 SSD and still not full, but okay.
I've got a 4 and I'm actually, what am I? I think I'm up to 3 now because I put a lot of games on it because I don't have to uninstall them now.
I uninstall constantly.
Since you boys mentioned that, I'm wondering what people have in their rigs, right? Because I have 3 media drives in my PC. I have a 4 terabyte normal mechanical hard drive for media for like backup and stuff. So 7,200 RPM. And it's only for stuff that I want to back up. And then I have a 2 terabyte NVMe. So that's for those that don't know, that's the bubblegum sized piece of because SSD can be not much faster than a hard drive all the way up to throughput speeds. And you want the NVMe, that's the cool stuff. And I've got a 2 terabyte one for that, which is about something like 3,000 read speed, okay, give or take. And I'm okay with that for games because it was cost effective at the time. But then my boot drive is a separate NVMe again. It's 512 gigabyte, but that is, at the time, was one of the fastest. It was about 5,500 read speed. And purely because it's my boot drive. So literally I had all my Windows was on that, my normal programs were on that. And when I did play Rust back in the day, because it was my favorite game, I put that one game and that one game only on my boot up drive, because those that play that game know that it takes a little while to start up. So how do you guys have your drives configured in your machine?
My main drive, my C drive, is my 500 gigabyte Seagate Firecuda 520, and it's pretty fast, and that's what I meant it for. I don't play games on that at all. But when I do video editing, audio editing, stuff like that, it definitely helps to have the speed. After that, I have a four terabyte. I think it was the PCIe, and it's the generation three times four. Yeah. Sometimes it's called Gen 3.5. It's like faster than 3, but not as fast as 4.
Yep.
And I load a lot of games on that one, and it's been great. And then I have an old drive that's still going. It's an SSD M2 that I've had for, 5 years.
So no mechanical hard drive anymore. for you at all.
The only mechanical hard drive I have is a, by the way, it's a 2 terabyte I have in my system on the other one. I have a 4 terabyte mechanical that sits outside my computer with for backups only. So I only turn that thing on once a week on Tuesdays when it does a full backup. And then once it's done, I turn it off. Okay. But that drive was meant to be used over and over, hundreds, thousands of times. So the drive is not going to be failing anytime soon. So, and that's, I throw a bunch of stuff on there to back up. But yeah. I would love to have an SSD that I could back up on, but nothing is large enough to want me to do it. That's why if this happens, I would love to have a backup on SSD, and then I would be totally rid of all the mechanicals. But that's the only mechanical I have. But it, like I said, I don't use it that much. I only turn it on for backups and stuff, and that's it. Which is,
I think most people do that. I also have a 4 terabyte mechanical hard drive, which is for stuff that I backup, keep, save files, all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, I've got stuff in my thing going back at least 4 or 5 years, some stuff. I forget even how much I have sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's fine. What's your setup all, Hans?
I think I have a 512 gigabyte SSD for booting, which is just, the C drive, right? Then I have a 2 terabyte NVMe drive, which is for my gaming. It's the 980 Pro from Samsung, I think it is. If I remember correctly. Could be the 970 too. It's one of those two. I'm not sure anymore. Anyway, they're basically the same, I guess. So, and then I got a 4 terabyte mechanical drive for, like I just said, stuff, backup and all that kind of things. And then I still have a 2 terabyte normal SSD drive, which is actually empty at the moment, that I don't use, but it's connected.
That's a little square one's hands.
Is it M.2? I'm not sure anymore what the name was. So it's
M.2. That's
here. Being empty.
They're not really that fast. They're about 550 megabytes a second. Whereas
I don't even know what brand it is anymore. So it was in there.
Mechanical hard drives are about, this is for the people that are really geeky and technical. Maybe you've missed that content on a podcast. Maybe you haven't. I don't know. Either pay attention or skip ahead. Mechanical hard drives are up to about 160, 180 MB a second. And then SSDs came out, and they were the little thin, like square, or were they more rectangle shaped devices, and they went up to about 550 MB, and they're good for normal boot drives and stuff like that. And then they brought the NVMe, the bubblegum shape that sticks out, and they went through the generations, and now we are on Gen 4, is it 4 or 5? 4? And they are blazingly fast.
Soon to skip over 5 and go to 6.
They go up to like 7,000 a second, and when 5 comes out, that'll blow out the water even more, or 6. So absolutely bonkers. You can never keep up, man. This is why they were all picking at me for not having an up-to-date stuff in my PC and my rig. They bullied me. They peer pressured me into buying a new GPU, and we know Sod's Law that the 5000 series NVIDIA graphics cards will probably come out at the end of the year, and I wouldn't have even had my new card a year. Thank you, Hans. Hang your head in shame, my friend.
No, it's no problem. You were really outdated. So, and now please change your CPU.
I would love to. I have to change the whole rig for that, and I'm trying to buy a house. So maybe next year. Maybe I'm thinking Black Friday 2025.
Yeah. Hey, look,
you're gaming at 4K, right? Yeah. So your 900K still does the job.
Yeah, well, that's...
You're at least good for 2 generations.
That's a good thing to keep in mind, right? More. People might think my CPU is so far out of date that I'm screwed, but the thing that some people might forget is as long as you're taxing your CPU quite a lot, you're not going to get the bottleneck. The GPU is doing a lot of lifting there at the same time. Not all games are CPU-dependent or heavy on the cores. So if I was underutilizing, if I was gaming at 1080p, I might start seeing some bottlenecks. But thankfully, because I'm at the bleeding edge, both of the chips are basically working hard. So
the thing is, though, should you upgrade, right, you're going to have a little bit more FPS, but it's not going to be worth the upgrade cost.
Well, that's a good point. What do you do going forwards, right? My goal was always, I wanted to game at 4K, and I wanted to be in triple digits for FPS. It's just a figure I've got in my head. So now going forwards, usually you go 30 FPS, 60, maybe 90, but 120, and then you usually keep doubling it, don't you? I think if I upgrade everything next, Hans, What I'll be is everything will be upgraded.
Yeah, if you want 240 FPS at 4K, I'm guessing at the moment just plainly can't be done in most games, right? Especially in the AAA games. Right?
Exactly. So, I don't need much more frames. I'd like a little bit more boost in frames, but bear in mind, game development and graphics are outpacing the hardware at the moment. That's why DLSS is a game changer, 3.0 and upwards. Yeah. That really helps. Yeah. And you know, games will keep going like that. So if games keep going like that, you need to seriously look at your options and what that extra horsepower will be used to actually power the next graphical improvement. So
yeah, it's a decision you're going to have to make at that point. Like, is it worth, like, I think it's going to be, £700-800 to upgrade the whole system, right? Excluding the GPU, then.
A lot more than that.
Yeah, definitely.
Excluding the GPU. Excluding the GPU.
This is the thing. I would need to upgrade the case because I've got a mid-sized tower. I'm struggling to fit everything in. I'm really struggling to fit. I need a full-sized tower. I need a new motherboard because, you know, motherboards change on a regular basis with the chips. A new chip.
Yep.
I will have to get at least one new SSD, at least with a boot drive. I'll see about the games or not. And then you want the latest RAM, DDR5, and then you want to just keep everything on. And then maybe an OLED. OLEDs came so far now that OLED's a beautiful option. You can get 4K OLEDs at high frames.
I got an OLED now, right? My panel is an OLED, and it's a game changer.
It's beautiful. So, it looks beautiful. Lord, thank you for the sub, my friend. Love you long time, mate. Thank you.
See, Lord also says AMD for the win, and...
Oh, no.
I 50% agree. Agree in Lord. CPUs, disagree in GPUs. GPUs and AMD is a really bad combination.
I can maybe be forced at gunpoint to accept that statement. but yeah, moving on from hardware.
Yeah.
Yep, we've done enough on hardware. Now we're going to get back into the game. So everybody who's, as long as you weren't living under a rock lately, knows that Elden Ring's DLC finally dropped, Shadow of the Erdtree. And apparently 5 million copies were sold in only 3 days. Surprising, I guess, with that game. And of course, our resident Elden Ring person here is Hans, because he jumped on it right away and even took some time off from work, and just he's been banging the game. And so I think it's only fair that we talk to Hans and let him tell us what he thinks.
A little tidbit before we start. It sold 5 million copies of the new DLC in 3 days. So I apologize, I missed that statement. There are a lot of Hans fanboys out there. A lot of them.
Oh yeah. By the way, did you know that it sold 3? Never mind. So go ahead, Hans. What do you think?
What do you want to know? Let's start there. So it's literally more Elden Ring, right? Mm-hmm. So let's start there. But maybe we should get into the topic of the negative reviews that a lot of people went online.
What negative reviews? Oh, you're talking about on the difficulty level.
Yeah, no, on the Steam, it's at mixed reviews at the moment. Right, so the critics gave it all a 10 out of 10 and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not going to go too much in numerical scores, but to be a 10 out of 10, you need to be a perfect game. And I guess no game is really perfect. But again, that's another discussion. So, no, a lot of people are having a lot of problems with the bosses and the difficulty, because it is true. When you enter the DLC, even a normal mob can one and two shot you. But what a lot of people don't realize is it doesn't matter what level you are. Right, a lot of people are at new game plus 9, new game plus 10, and they got like level 400, level 500, and they still get obliterated. So the problem is, there's kind of a new leveling system in place. So even if you are the most powerful character and you got the most powerful build for the normal game, you're going to get obliterated in the DLC. Because you need to level up a different way. You need to, how do I say this, you need to get the shattered fragments and the scudder tree fragments, or whatever you scudder tree fragments, that's the one that you need to collect. And the more you collect, the more powerful your character will be. So you can actually level up your character and your summons at the same time. But in order to find those, you gotta explore the game. And a lot of people thought they would just go in there and, you know, slice through everything like they did in the base game, and that is completely impossible in the DLC. Hence, a lot of people are saying that it's too difficult.
Katrin Sif just typed in. She said, maybe you should try a software called Lossless Scaling Frame Generation on Steam.
Oh, I've heard of this.
I heard the name, but I don't know what it does. I think it's something AI based, if I remember correctly, but I haven't looked into it. But I should look into that. We should all do, by the way. We all
Sounds like some competition there. They want to do something different. These days with AI, everybody's going to have something that works better.
Can I get your take on the addition we added to that about making a DLC easier? The devs came out and brought a patch out to make it a little bit easier. Do you know much about that? Do you agree, disagree with it?
Well, they made it a bit easier in the sense that they made it easier, apparently, when you start the DLC. Right, so that the scaling would be better for your level towards the mobs or something, from what I read. Personally, I was already past the point where the easier mode, so to speak, would change anything in my game because I already beat a few bosses when it dropped.
So is the DLC a lot more harder than the actual base game?
Lot harder.
You make it sound like the base game is really easy, but I don't think it... Surely it can be. I was getting my arse handed to me.
What is easy? I mean, compared to the DLC, you could maybe call it easy, yeah? That's something that we have to acknowledge, I guess. And there's a few legitimate criticisms of the base game, too. I mean, Gray, you played it, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever made it to the first real boss?
The first one,
The storyline boss, right?
Not much after that, though.
Where you has plaything, I bet you were.
The difficulty level between the first boss and the rest of the game before it, right, is an enormous jump. And that's a criticism that I do have about the base game, right? The first boss should be a little bit easier. And maybe they should patch that in like a few years ago already. So what they did for the DLC is they made the scaling easier, apparently, which for me was a bit pointless because I was already past the point at that moment.
Well, from what I read about the patch that they put in was they said that they were going to provide you with weapons a little sooner. They're going to provide you with I forget what it was, the things that keep you from you can regenerate. They're going to make it a little easier to find those, and then you can use those. So in other words, instead of dying 150 times, you only die 100 times.
But what a lot of people also need to realize in the DLC is, right, in the base game you had your build. Like, I had a dragon incantation build. That means I could just, use powerful dragon incantation magic and slice through 90% of the enemies. So when you go into the DLC, that wasn't the case anymore. So you need to adapt to each boss. Each boss will have a different moveset, of course, but also different... how do I say this? I don't really find the words what I mean, but anyway...
Build?
Yeah, build is not the right word, so that's why I was struggling. But what I mean is that you're going to have to respec and change your build in order to kill a specific boss, right?
Well, I remember when I watched you you playing on our Discord, and I asked you about that, and you said you respected your character, like, many times.
Oh, yeah, especially for the new bosses. The one that you saw me play against, which was Mesmer, the boss, is one of the harder ones in the game, right? Still haven't beaten that one. I'm at the moment, I'm doing a quest line, which will allow me to get a staff, which will complement my bleed build that I'm making at the moment. And we'll see where we end up then with the boss. But
I want to know what your view about this is, but I read an article when they were talking about Souls games in the general aspect, like meaning Elden Ring as well as other games. And they were saying, like, should they have easier difficulty options? So when I was reading the different opinions of people that chimed in on what they thought, a couple of them that made sense to me was said, well, the whole point of a Souls game is to be what it is. And that if you tried to make easier choices or easier difficulty options, then basically it's not a Souls game anymore. So, and from that aspect, even if I don't like playing them and dying all the time, that makes sense. I get it. So if it's a Souls-like game, you got to have the kind of patience or whatever that Hans has to be able to play a game like that. I'm not built for that, so it gets me crazy after a while. The only thing that I do think is not necessarily a bad thing, and this is going to get into my next thing, even though I mentioned it later in the notes, so I'm just kind of bringing it up now. But that's the fact that a lot of people, and I've talked about this before, and there's mods. Now, we do want to put a little disclaimer warning out right over now, because Hans was notifying me saying that when you're online with the game, if they detect that you're using any kinds of mods, that they're going to ban you. I don't know, because I know that I'm going to trust Hans in this one, but I remember when Elden Ring came out, it had been out for a few months. I did use WiiMod to try to do something, and I had no issues and no banning or anything. But then again,
you were either very lucky or you were offline.
Well, I don't remember. I could have been offline, but I wasn't playing multiplayer, because those kind of games, not to say that multiplayer is a bad thing. I'm just saying that I like to run those games first by myself before.
But I need to say something about multiplayer first, because this is not the multiplayer that you think of. If you're playing multiplayer, that means on the ground you see bloodstains and you will see shadows walking. Those are other players, but you can't interact with them. Right, you can interact with the bloodstain. If you touch the bloodstain, you can see how that player died. You can also read the messages on the ground. So let's say I'm at a certain point in a keep, and there's like a trap on the left. I can write a message on the ground saying, watch out, trap, or be wary of trap, left. Right? And then another player that plays his game online can see that message. That's how the multiplayer works.
Then how come when I was reading one of the articles, they were saying like, well, you can... you could go into to Elden Ring and get your buddies and help defeat
it. That was the next thing I was going to say, right? So if we're playing, both of us are online, we're playing together, right? I can, I think it's the finger you need to use, right? That's an item in game. Yeah, it's a finger. And then I can summon you to my game. Or you can summon.
How do you do that? Do you go like this? Do you go like this?
No, I just said you have an item in game, a finger, put something on the ground, right? And then he needs to click it. And I can set a password that like 1234, right? And he can come into my game, say, Gray's struggling with the boss, right? And he wants help. He can summon me. He needs to use the items. He can summon me. And then we can both tackle the boss. There's also a PvP section, but I haven't done that one yet. So I can't speak for the PvP.
There's a PvP section? I didn't know.
There's a PvP, yeah. There's an arena even, but I haven't dabbled in that one, so I can't comment on anything that.
Hans, can we see your collector edition little thing that you got? Is it doable? Is it possible?
Hold on.
They brought a collector edition out for a DLC. I've never heard of that ever.
Neither have I.
Closer.
Well, they said that the DLC... you can't really see it that well.
Sorry.
However, if you join our Discord, you can see it. Maybe. Han has posted pictures.
Hey! Oh, wow.
That looks pretty good.
Look at that.
That thing's big. Yeah. Come a little closer. A little closer.
You had it perfect. It was right
there. There you go. Right there.
That's pretty epic, man. Nice.
For our people out there in the audio world, it's a statue that's, what is that thing, like 2 foot high? Or something?
It's a statue of metric.
No, it's not.
That came with the DLC, et cetera. Hans is into the stuff, so he has a lot of
There's also an art book in there, but the art book is not in the game because there was a production thingy. So they gave you a QR code, which you need to go online to the FromSoft website. And from the 21st of July, they will ship the physical art books.
To get back to what we were saying about the difficulty and so forth, me being a different type of player where I don't like dying a million times, I would be the one that would probably want to use mods or whatever. Now, assuming that, you know, again, that we disclaim this by the fact that you should do some research and find out whether, you know, there's any kind of banning going around, or if you want to just play offline and then you don't have to worry about it. You can do whatever you want. But there's already people that are coming out with all kinds of different mods for the game. Some of them are able to get you to change the difficulty. By doing a couple different things with the mods. They have different kinds of stuff out there. If you do a little research, you'll find out a bunch of them. There's also mod packages. I would never do this, but they have a starter pack, or what they call a starter pack mod. But it gives you the maximum rooms, two of every weapon, all the armor sets, spells, incantations, summons, ashes of war, talisman, everything.
Oh, come on, Gray.
I'm not going to do that. That's like, wait, whoa, that's like too much. I don't need that.
That completely takes away from any enjoyment of the game of exploring.
Right, exactly. So I wouldn't be messing with that one.
You're better off downloading a save file then. So.
Yeah, there you go. Just download the save file. I won't have to worry about it.
Oh,
no, but I don't care about that. I want just something that's relatively simple so that I can adjust a little bit. One of the things that this is just me now, or players like me. One of the things that I noticed that WiiMod does, because it's probably one of the better modding systems because it's all kind of like automatic, except where you want it. But in there, and a lot of they also have like you're able to instead of doing the difficulty, because you don't have a slider. Nobody's come up with a mod that has a slider for difficulty for the game. Maybe that will happen one day, but they don't.
Why?
But on well, it's again, this is not your it's not you, Hans. It's for players like me that don't want to play it that way, but still want to have fun. So I can still have fun in the game if I can adjust a couple things and then go forward and play. I don't want to make it so simple that I just mow down everybody. But at the same time, I'm not going to play at that level because it's just impossible for me. The thing it's, that we mod that
Gray,
was that was.
I just want to say this one because you say it's impossible for me. It's not. It really is not. There's always a way to cheese a boss, right? You just need to know how. Just look it up. Have a build, and you have a way better time if you look up what to
do. Well, I guess what I really meant by that is that I don't have that kind of patience, maybe, is what it really amounts to. So because I don't have that kind of patience, I have to do something. What the point I was trying to make is on the Wii mod, you can actually change the damage that an enemy does to you or that you do to it. But it's done extremely... Wait, listen to me now. It's done extremely incrementally. So in other words, if I wanted to go in and I just wanted to make a wee bit more damage to the enemy and have him do me a wee bit less, I can sit there and go very, very small increments to just get it to the point where it's doing the same thing, more or less, that a difficulty slider would. So when you go in there and adjust it a little at a time to where you can handle it and not get frustrated, then you can continue the game and have fun with the game.
Then you're taking away the core of the game.
I'm not doing it. I wouldn't do it to take away the core of the game for the people like games.
Yeah, no. I'm not saying that I'm affected by it. I think it's about your game. But if you play the game that way, right, you're taking away from the core of the game. The whole meaning of the game is to, you know, get better, learn from your mistakes, adjust your build, and slice through everything. Because in the base game, right, there's now a build out there. It's called a passive build with only summons. You don't need to do one hit in a single game. No, it's just possible. You just need to know how to do it. So
no, I agree.
You can make it really easy. That's the thing.
I'm not knocking it, and I would always look into things before I did anything. I'm just saying that I like, if you're going to use a mod, I like a mod that, see, let's put it this way. A lot of the mods, I'm not going to say all of them, but many of the mods that come out there, it's an all or nothing kind of thing. So it's kind of like, well, okay, you're either going to, you know, die all the time, or we're going to give you a mod that's you're going to be able to kill them all the time. Well, I don't want that. I want something that I can change and make it my own way, tweak it exactly. And the only thing I've ever seen that on has been Wii Mod, because if you can do it in increments, then you can just kind of balance it out a little bit more towards what you can handle and then still enjoy the game a lot. So my feeling is I'm not going to enjoy the game. I'm going to enjoy the game a lot more and not less if I do minor tweaks like that. Not going all out, play God mode the entire time, because that's stupid. So I would just do those little tweaks where I can at least increase my survivability a little.
I still say that if you, in your case, Anna, if you would just have a decent build and play as it is intended, which you can be overpowered soon in the game. Hold on. You can be overpowered in the beginning of the game, so to speak, right? Without fighting a single mob. And you're going to have a way better time than doing all those tweaks. You'll see. Yeah, you should really try it out.
Are you going to be able to do a decent build and not die 1,000 times?
Yeah, you can. You absolutely can. Then you need to look up where the items are.
Right. If that's the case, then I'd look into that. Because I'm not
I can send you a few builds, right, that you can do at the start of the game without killing any bosses. I mean, the normal mobs you can take. You don't need any skill for the normal mobs. So, yeah. Or you can just dodge them. Even if you don't want to fight, just dodge them. Really easy. And then you get those items, and then you will see you can slice through, like, at least 70% of the game from the start.
I'm game. Send them to me when you can, and
I'll do it.
Hans, and I'll report back here on the pod.
Hans, do you know how far you are into the DLC? I take it you're enjoying it more than the original game or not?
I'm enjoying it at the same pace. Right. So I'm not going to say it's better or worse. The story of the game, just like in the base game, is scattered all over the place. So if you really want to have a decent scope of the story, I suggest just look up a YouTube video with the lore, because it's really bizarre. Let's keep it at that one.
Are you past the halfway mark, or you still got a lot to play?
I honestly couldn't say, because I think I beat 4 of the 10 bosses. Right. I mean, main game bosses.
Yeah.
I beat the 10 or 12 side story bosses. So I'm not really sure if I'm halfway or not. I really don't know. You can't see a percentage of it. So apparently some people completed in 6 hours. I'm already up to about 30 hours, I think. So
I don't understand people like that. I really don't. I'm not saying you do a grind, take forever to play a game and get every single last minute and iota of a game. But you got to slow down, smell the roses, and actually enjoy playing it a little bit rather than try to complete it first. I don't get it.
Yeah. Speedrunners, it's an all different thing, because I think the world record now is 6 minutes or under 6 minutes now.
So, Elden Ring, really?
The base game, right? But those are what they call pixel teleports. So they know at pixel in the game you need to do like a stab or whatever, and then it teleports you all the way to another part of the map. You skip 90%, and I'll send you the speedrun if you want to. So,
oh wow,
First of all, speedrunners amaze me, because
me too. It's an art by itself. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, so. I don't know how they figure out the stuff they do. It's just like
me neither. It's really weird to me. Like, it needs to be pixel perfect or it doesn't work. And the people that can do that, I mean, major kudos, because I don't have the skill to do that, and I will never have, to be honest.
Very wild.
insane.
A little piece of story I thought was just kind of interesting, I wanted to bring up. I don't know what your guys' views are on it, but we all remember Atari, right? And I thought Atari was like long gone. And then all of a sudden I start reading an article where they said Atari makes an acquisition, and they bought over apparently the developers that made Surgeon Simulator. And I'm going like, what? So as I started reading it, apparently, I think Atari's new mission now, since they merged with a couple other companies and now they just call themselves just plain Atari, is that they're trying to take up or work with devs that make games that are more like the 80s, 90s type style. And they're pursuing that market by just trying to get to those kind of developers and or buying out those kind of developers to try to recreate or not just recreate, but create new games that are in that style that people would want. I kind of think that might be a good idea, because there's some games that we still look fondly at from years ago that if we all say, like, gee, if they just could just make the game playable, you know, on Windows and improve the graphics a little bit, it'd be great. But nobody really does that. Well, apparently, I guess Atari is trying to do that. I didn't know what your guys' views on that would be. Don't all jump into the one time now.
I was thinking about it, so I'm not really sure what to say about this one.
I wish Atari would just go back to, I know they make some games now, but they don't make a lot of games. And for me, they'll always be known for, most famous for, their consoles. I just wish they would make consoles again, and Sega for that matter. I think the gaming world would be a better place if there was more choices, because Hans doesn't like Sony. They take a lot of the exclusivity away. Xbox are a console maker, but they also make Windows, Microsoft, and they're very good at gaming in that side. Plus, they bring the console and PC sides together, hands nicely, so that you can play anywhere. That's kind of their slogan. But I would just like more choices. I mean, my favorite console of all time is probably a Mega Drive, or what you call over the pond, the Genesis, but I loved that thing. I absolutely adored that thing. And Atari as well, while I wasn't born when the Atari came out, I do remember having one, which I got later, and my friend got the old school one. I'm talking about the
2600.
That had the wood on it, the wooden effect. I didn't have the modern take on it. He had the wooden one, OG, and you're sitting playing Pong and thing. And this whole time, I'm playing Pong years later. Gray's probably already grown up, got kids, married man, and he's moved on from Pong.
Gray was around during the Civil War. Don't forget that one. So.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, it was great. It was great because somebody, I forgot who, but somebody.
Civil War was great? Okay.
The movie's not great.
Somebody on Discord.
Oh, I like the movie, by the way, but that's another.
It was crap. That's for GGR.
Yeah, that's coming up too. No, I saw somebody in our Discord post a picture from the past, right? The blast of, and they had people playing Pong. And they were telling me, do you remember this? I said, remember it? I played it. But it was so funny seeing the picture because I'm sitting there going like, wow, that takes way back.
Yeah, my very really? First video game that I played was on the Atari 2600 called Sky Alien. It was like this shooter and you needed to shoot the aliens that came down from the sky. It was really hard. So, and you're complaining about Elden Ring, right? That was way harder, just saying.
Well, remember Alien, was it Alien Invaders and stuff? All that kind of came from that that whole...
Oh, it was thing. Like Alien Invader, but then it was called Sky Alien, so... Basically, a knockoff.
Probably a ripoff of the other game.
Going back to the Atari thing, though, I'm surprised they bought someone over. I didn't think they were as big as that. But clearly, they must.
I didn't either.
I mean, like Sega, I get, they still make games, and they've got a lot of IP over the years, even if they don't make hardware anymore. But Atari, who don't make that many games, have enough money to buy out someone else. I'm surprised about that.
But are we still talking about the real Atari here? Like the OG
Atari. Yeah, they were bought up over, like, but it's still the Atari.
Now, what happened was they went through bankruptcy, I think, back in 2008. And then a company basically kind of swooped in and said, well, we'll pick up on it because they got it for a song. And then they started looking into doing, like I was saying, trying to pick up on new games in the style, you know, of the old games, more, I guess, more or less. I mean, if you take a look at some of the pictures from Surgeon Simulator, it's pretty funny. I mean, they have a guy on the table, and they have saws and all kinds of stuff going on.
Why did they buy them?
I don't know. I guess apparently that game is popular with some people.
Probably.
Oh, no doubt it's cheap. There's no doubt it's cheap. We're talking all this is cheap. You know, whether Atari goes anywhere from this point, I don't know. Maybe they got something figured out on that side of the coin.
We'll see. I mean, Atari's mostly nostalgia for me. To be fair, I wouldn't really care if they weren't around anymore. It's just fun to hear that they're still around, but that's about it. So I read an article like a few, this is a bit different topic, but like a few days ago, did you know yesterday, do you know ICQ, the messenger?
Yeah.
From back in the day?
I love that, mate.
Yeah. They died yesterday, so they shut down yesterday. They were still alive until yesterday. So really? I was like, what? They was even still around? I didn't know.
Rest in peace. So, no.
That's so funny when you sit there and think they're automatically been gone for years and you find out, no, died now.
Like, what? ICQ died yesterday? I was like, huh? Wasn't it still around?
How did they survive that long if we have not...
I have no idea. So, I mean, I think ICQ so
somebody,
was before,
somebody in their
before
basement
Messenger
owned it.
Even, so... probably.
Well, apparently, that's what people I thought of when I saw. Right, that's what I thought of when I saw the Atari article. I'm going like, I thought they were long gone.
And all yeah, same. All this that's why like, I was thinking about the ICQ thingy. So like, what? Wait.
Man, next thing you're going to tell me is MySpace is still around.
Is it around? I don't know. Is it?
I don't think so.
I need to look that up now. I just gotta know.
Oh God, here we go.
If
they're still around, I would be shocked. I would be shocked.
MySpace.
That morphed into Facebook and all that stuff.
Apparently, MySpace, the website, is, it's still here. MySpace.com.
Does it really work?
It works. I got it open right here. See,
that's
copy.
That's crazy. Until you really start looking, you never know. You never
Check in our DMs. Here it is. Because I can post links, so it's still up.
Wow, that's crazy.
You know what? I'm going to make a MySpace now. I think we need one.
Wow, that is absolutely crazy. I thought for sure that can't be around.
Yeah, apparently it is. There you go.
Anyway, moving on. We get Trev has an interesting story that we've been hearing about. Trev, why don't you go ahead?
I like a little bit of gossip, and I don't know how I feel about this one, so I would like to get your guys' opinion at the end of this. Soon to be available on our merch website, shop on Discord, I think, Gray. He's shown the Extreme Gaming Podcast mug off. Dr. Disrespect, we all know this guy, right? Bit of a character. YouTuber, was a Twitch streamer, dresses up like a complete and utter idiot, but we love him for that. He looks interesting. He got kicked off of Twitch a few years ago. And we didn't know the exact reason. There was theories going around and rumors, but no one would say anything, right? He was on a contract worth 10 million doll hairs a year to go with Twitch. Absolutely boggles the mind, really. Then it gets kicked, okay. It gets kicked off of that after a few weeks. It was accusation of infidelity, which he did admit to. Is Guy Beam, his name is. He comes on, he apologizes. And there was a little part of me that felt sorry for him, because at the end of the day, while it was wrong, it's like he's a human being, he's admitting he's done wrong. Okay, you believe in second chances. But then you read this article just the other day, and a couple of articles then come together to make this bigger story. He was making an FPS game with a developer, a games company called Midnight Society, right? Which he helped kind of set up a little bit, and he was one of the main guys helping to drive it. An idea being he was the guy, he's played a lot of FPS games, COD's one of the big ones.
Wasn't he the co-creator? Just saying?
Yeah, he was, yeah. But once this story ends, you'll see being a co-creator isn't all it's cracked up to be. He made this FPS game with them, and it's just because he would often complain. He was often someone that didn't take losing very well, and he would always blame the mechanics in the game, or he blamed the devs for this, that, and the next thing. So he thought, I'll make a game of my own and team up with someone, and let's get it done. And it was showing, you know, the alpha footage was showing some promise, but it was way too early to tell, because we know games take a long time to make. So accusations come out a matter of days ago from someone that said an upcoming TwitchCon or a previous TwitchCon.
No, he was an employee, ex-employee.
There was actually two employees that came out. There was the first guy who said something about that disrespect was sending whispers to what amounted to an underage kid. And they said something about that the whisper said something to the effect that, you know, I'll meet you at the da-da-da-da convention. Here's the thing. The second one came out, a second person that works at Twitch at that time. And he said he was kind of corroborating it and saying that, you know, it was worse than that or whatever. But here's the thing, though. I also was trying to be fair, and I was wanted to see what other people were saying on the other side and in the middle or whatever. And they were saying the problem with this is, just like in our society today, is these two people have come out to say what they said, but they have absolutely zero proof of anything. So disrespect then comes out, and he goes, legally, I can't say too much. I can only tell you certain things because we settled off on what everything that happened. There was, they decided there was no wrongdoing, but the way he worded it was a little odd. But I think he did that because of the legal issues. And he was paid his contract, and that's that. So I think there's more to it, though, as the story goes on. But unless somebody comes out with some real proof as to what happened, you can't just sit there and tell the guy he's guilty when you're just trusting two employees that nobody knows or has any information on. It's just there. It's just what they said. It's really wild.
Am I allowed to finish my story, Gray?
Yeah, because you, I think Jeff wanted to say something really important there.
I was basically going to say that, but Gray just jumped in and cut me off and took over story. I don't know why he done that.
I got on a roll.
Do you know what I should have done? I never thought of this, Hans. I'm recording it, although he's hosting it this week. I should have just muted that last 5 minutes.
Yeah, just mute him.
I should have
just
actually, yeah.
I can mute myself right now, watch.
Yeah, please keep it on. But anyway, as Gray said, these accusations, no proof, right? I don't want to get involved in the legality of it because I'm not a lawyer and I don't want to get people into trouble. And you're innocent until proven guilty is in most civilized countries. That's the way the system should and will always go, in my opinion. But if you had the stories of the infidelity before with his wife and now this, you can see why maybe a lot of people are making the assumption. Assumption is a dangerous thing, but you can see why a lot of people are making that assumption because, oh, well, you cheated on your partner. So texting people that are really, really young.
It was around the same time, right?
Well, there you go. There you go. I didn't know that.
And don't forget now, he made a statement on X, right? Where he basically confirmed the rumor saying, look, were there whispers with a minor, and the word minor is in there. So he literally typed in himself and then he edited the tweet, taking out the word minor. He was caught doing it. And then he re-edited the tweet, putting the word minor back in there, and that doesn't really look good.
See, I didn't know that element, that part, because why would you throw yourself under the bus like that? I mean, honestly, he admitted to cheating on his partner, but that part there, I didn't know, which that boggles my mind. So yes, you're innocent until you're proven guilty.
Yeah, but let me see if I can pull up the tweet here.
Please do, because I mean, that for me, just crying out, you've probably done what you've been accused of doing, and let's let it go through court cases and all that stuff, let them do their thing. But Midnight Society, to be in the safe side, cut ties with them. Now, that's coming back to the co-creator thing. He helped start the company, but there must be something in the contract saying that if enough people or individuals club together, they can boot another individual out. And that's usually how a board works, so that's probably what's happening. Mm. He's been booted. Maybe he got paid off for it, I would imagine he would have. And then someone else came out and dumped him as well to add more fuel into that fire. Turtle Beach, the headset supplier that he's always wearing. And personally, I wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot barge pole for gaming. They're average at best, in my opinion. But he was obviously given a lot of money, and they're a big name in the gaming industry. So they've all both booted him. And then on Monday's stream there on the YouTube, I watch him the odd time, he comes out near the end and basically starts addressing these things, not in detail, saying, listen, the accusations, as Gray said there, can't say too much. It's an ongoing thing, blah, blah, blah. He said, I'm getting really fed up all this and fatigued more than anything else. And let's assume he's still innocent. Again, I understand that angle. And he basically says that I'm going to take a break, or I'm going to maybe move on to something else, ride off into the sunset. We don't know what he's going to do, but he doesn't. Gray said to me before, oh, he better watch his pennies and stuff. Like, no, not really. He got $10 million basic from Twitch every year, despite plus and all the other things he's made money from. He's a multimillionaire. As long as he doesn't spend like a millionaire, he'll be good the rest of his life.
Just want to say something here. I have
Unless
the tweet
he's thrown
up,
in jail.
I got the tweet right here again, which he explained everything, and he re-edited, taking out the word minor again. So here's what he typed. So I'm going to try and go around all the curse words that are in here. So
you only get an hour to edit a tweet, by the way. So that's amazing.
So just go bleep, bleep, bleep.
Were there Twitch Whispers messages with an individual minor back in 2017? The answer is yes. Were there real intentions behind these messages? The answer is absolutely no. These were casual, mutual conversations that sometimes leaned too much in the direction of being inappropriate, but nothing more. Nothing legal happened, no pictures were shared, no crimes were committed. I never even met the individual. I went through a lengthy arbitration regarding a civil dispute with Twitch, and the case was resolved in a settlement, which is, by the way, true. Twitch paid him out the rest of his contract. So, oh, wow. But he took the word minor out of it again. So
what I heard was, or just another side of the coin, which would be interesting. They said that where does the responsibility for what happened on Twitch's side? Right. So they're saying that if supposedly, again, he's innocent until proven guilty, but let's just say for argument's sake that there's some truth to it or whatever, you know, then you kind of go back to Twitch and go like, so you basically knew, which is a bad thing, and then you went and settled with him and gave him money, so basically you're kind of part of it.
Also, so, I do think, though, I think it's kind of illegal for Twitch to read private whispers.
Okay, exactly.
I'm not sure, by the way. I'm just saying that I think. But, yeah, I'm not sure what to think about this situation.
This is going to lead to some interesting stuff, because I got a funny feeling that Twitch isn't totally absolved of some of this stuff. So wait and see what happens in the coming weeks or months. Like, I think
we're going to hear a lot in the next coming weeks. And the second employee that you said that came out, by the way, you also said that those DMs were way more than inappropriate, apparently. But again, those are all rumors and hearsay. So,
right, you're going by one person that could have a vendetta against disrespect. You don't know.
Anyway, one thing I'm pretty sure about is that I don't think you're going to see Dr. Disrespect again. Doesn't matter in what form. Its career's over, at least the way it is now.
Well, yes and no, because YouTube haven't done anything about this yet. I don't know if they can or they would want to, but he has such a massive fan base of diehards that will only see red, that's one of his main colors, and nothing else. He can't do no wrong by them. So, yes, it would be the end of his career in the way we know it, Hans, but he won't be short of a few quid or two if he wants to go back to
Sweden. Money-wise, he's going to be fine. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, there's no question.
Because I got to be honest, though, prior to 2020, right, a lot of people were talking about him on our Discord. I don't watch streamers, so I had to look into who is this guy. So, and that's when I started to follow the controversy a little bit. But I gotta be honest, unlike Trev, I never watch his stream. I seldom watch a streamer at all.
Yeah. Well, on the side of YouTube, what Trev was mentioning, YouTube really, it pays for them not to say anything. Because first of all, they're not implicated in any way, shape, or manner. So basically being quiet and just letting it do whatever it's going to do is actually the perfect thing for them to do. Now, if more comes out and he's actually really is found guilty, then immediately YouTube goes, we're dropping him right now. It's the same thing when the actor from Marvel, when they had issues with him and they kept
Jonathan
going,
Jonathan Majors.
And even though the evidence is piling up more and more and more, Marvel just kind of sat back and said innocent until proven guilty. And then as soon as he was proven guilty, bam, they dropped the hammer on him the very next day.
They kind of have to. And I'm not surprised if they don't dump him sooner than that, because it's bad for business. And that can, and indirectly or even directly sometimes, affect a company's share price if it blows up and escalates. So they have to do that. So I don't blame the Midnight Society and Turtle Beach and whoever else is sponsoring them for.
Oh, no, me neither. No.
You know, so the other quick thing to add on there, it wasn't moving on from that. The other thing that I found interesting, I don't include this when it's actually decent games. Prime Gaming, who Nick used to take the piss out of, like, why do I want these games? They're crap. But they're free. Like, just some of the games in Epic that they hand out are crap. I won't download them. But there was a couple that really caught my attention that are coming out July 11th, right? In fact, there's maybe one in July 3rd, Hitman, that will be a good shout on GOG. But July 11th, here's the one that blows my mind. First of all, we got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, which I played before. It was actually good fun. I really enjoyed it.
That's a new one, right?
Yeah, it reminded me of being 10 years old again. Loved it. A classic coming up. Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 2, The Sith Lords, right?
Good
That's
game.
Coming out in the Amazon Games app. And then here's the one that blew my mind. I didn't know this was a thing. Well, I knew it was a thing, but not on PC. Alex Kidd in Miracle World DX. Now, that'll be in the Epic Games Store. Now, I played that last on the Sega Master System, which wasn't really popular in America. And for our North American pals, that's an 8-bit gaming console that came out before the Mega Drive, all right? I remember playing that. I think it was Alex Kidd in Miracle World, and there wasn't save games back then. You couldn't save. So you had to pause it, or you had to complete it in a few hours, or you were screwed. So if your mother unplugged the console to do the hoovering, you literally committed murder in your own home. So Alex the Kid being brought to a PC, which will have save files and everything, man, and a higher graphical settings.
It's the Miracle World version, right?
Yes, Miracle World DX. I don't know what DX means, but
that's on Steam also, by the way, just saying. It only costs $3.99 at the moment.
Right.
Are they going to bring it up from 8-bit to 16 or 32?
No, they'll keep it like that, because that's the nostalgic part of it. But resolution's a thing. Resolution's a thing. You can have higher resolution and still have the 8 or 16-bit design, if you like.
I want higher resolution on 8-bit. Woo-hoo.
But speaking of those games... Ghosts and Goblins, they also have a new one that they brought out a few years ago. It's also a really good game, but really hard. I wasn't able to finish it yet.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one as well. Really hard. So good. Well, Gray, look at the picture on the, if you're not already, on the link I put into the notes for the games, the Prime Games. Look at the picture of Turtles. That doesn't look so bad. That's an older-fashioned game in the modern game in the old-fashioned style. And it's actually really good. I think I covered that in one of the old podcasts, actually, to be fair. Some good games coming out.
Yeah.
And what else have we got here? Yeah, I think that's the most interesting things at the moment. Did you have, is this here by accident?
They have Hitman.
New Hitman, yeah.
There's Carl of Juarez, which one of our Discord members was talking about that, and he wanted to know whether anybody had played it, and I did. And Carl of Juarez was a great game, and I still once in a while will float back to it and stuff like that, because you don't see many Western games and good ones, I should say, like, you know, Red Dead 2, that was different, but that was a good game. But as far as straightforward FPS shoot 'em up old Western games, they don't make them anymore, period, to be honest. This one was like that, and it was always a blast. I remember running through that game many, many, many different times on the same runs every time, but I would just try to do something a little different. It wasn't open world or anything like that. Well, everything was limited. You're straightforward, but boy, it was fun. That was a fun game.
Great. Cheney in the comments is saying he had a Master System growing up, and he played a lot of Bomber Raid. I didn't play that one.
I can't remember that.
California Games, yes, I did. That was on the Master System, then the Mega Drive. So that was a classic. Just some of those games from back in the day were just so good. And the thing is, and Alex the Kid was built into the Master System. You had two takes. You had Alex the Kid built in, or you had Sonic built in. I preferred the Alex the Kid built in version. So. Give me the and Cheney, for those that don't know, is one of our retro guys on the Discord. Got a room and all that, talks about retro stuff, so you can come in and chew the fat retro stuff with him. Great, what was your article below about games for June? Is that still accurate or not? Or is it supposed to be for July?
Yep, I sometimes like to point out, like I have in other podcasts, that there are a lot of games that come out that people just don't really know about. Or maybe never heard of. And granted, it could be, you know, a lot of indies, but there's a different things too. So I just like to, I always like to spit out a few games just in case. But June 27th being when we're doing this, a game Fortress Challenge, Fort Boyard, PC and Switch comes out. Neo Sprint, Payday 3, Chapter 2, Boys in Blue. Wanderer, The Fragments of Fate, Never Dark. Nocturnal Visitors, One Last Breath, and Spy X Anya Operation Memories.
So that's a load of
right
crap
there.
Then.
That's already eight games.
A load of crap.
You know, the thing is, we don't know if these games are good, bad, or indifferent. But I'm surprised at the amount of games that come out every month. It's June alone had something like, if I go back on the list, had something like 30 or 40 games come out in June. I'm like, really? And you may have only heard of like three of them.
A lot of games do come out that people don't realize. If you think about it, actually, like from every single game that's professionally published, whether it's indie or quadruple A, because only Ubisoft make them, and I will never stop taking the piss out of them for that one. Lots and lots, dozens and dozens of games come out every single month, regardless. They're just swept under the carpet because they're usually pretty small. So.
I'm trying to make going forward, I'm trying to make a point of seeing if I can pick up on some of these games here and there. I do a little research on what the game is like and then try it, because I need to report on some of these things, because they could be good, you know, some of them. I'm sure some of them are. It's that we don't, you know, play it or anything. But coming in July, just so you know, Final Fantasy 14 Dawn Trail will be coming up on July 2nd.
Does anybody ever here played Final Fantasy 14?
Comic did. He was in a nightclub in Final Fantasy 14, dancing inappropriately with other computer generated people in that game in a nightclub.
there's a lot more freaky stuff going on there than that, but okay.
I know everybody's been waiting for this. July 2nd, there's going to be the DLC for Power Wash Simulator.
Yes,
I know everyone is really looking forward to that one.
Yes,
it's called Alice's Adventure Special Pack. Like, okay, whatever that means.
Okay, yeah.
I know. Time wise, we could probably fit this in, Greg, because this week's a little bit short, isn't it? Probably. I was briefly going to talk about Enshrouded, just because I've been playing it a lot recently. I haven't completed it yet, but I thought it was relevant. See, before I do. What earphones have you got? Have you copied me and got the same ones and not told me? What are they?
No, actually, no. What happened was I've had these earbuds for a long time, Bluetooth, and I used to use them with my phone and everything a long time ago, and then I forgot I even had the stupid things. And so I was looking around cleaning out junk, and I see, what if these still work? So I charged them up, and they're great.
I wouldn't use them for gaming. I would use some like because the latency is usually too much. These don't use Bluetooth, or they do with a phone. But if you're actually gaming, they've got a dongle to connect to what in a Wi-Fi kind of basis, so that they.
I did try a couple of games, and I actually didn't come across that problem. But the reason I think that's true, because literally the dongle is 2 feet away from me, right there. So there's really no transmission loss going that quick and that fast, just between right there.
Got you. Right, okay.
You know, and these particular ones, which I like about them, is they have more bass to it. It's a little more high fidelity than typical ones.
Right.
Okay. Which is kind of nice, but.
Cool. Cool.
But anyway, I do want to talk a little bit about Inshada, because there is one thing that I did that was fun, but I want you to go first. Go ahead.
Right. Okay. So I've been playing it a lot recently because I'm trying to catch up with Gray. I want to beat his ass. And I maybe shouldn't have spoke that quickly, because while I've nearly completed it, I was playing some of the DLC stuff. Well, not DLC, update that came out for it, the Myers. And I'm literally struggling at the moment because I've got a couple of missions left, but one of them is the old stuff that's to do with getting your ultimate wings, your ultimate glider, right? Now, The problem is you need to get to a certain bit of the map, which I think there's a workaround. It's the last bit of the map that's got the red shroud in it, and you need to get your altar up to the highest level to get rid of that shroud, right? That's a game mechanic to stop you going too far ahead, which I like. But you need 40 sparks. I have so far managed to get 33 out of 40. I am still struggling to find another 7. So literally what I'm doing, I'm going about the map like an idiot, literally trying to find some more of these things to level up so I can do that old last mission. But I am struggling. Great. How did you get so many of these spark things?
I'm trying to remember. No. The reason why I did... No, let me think. I'm trying to remember whether there was a place to farm them or whatever, and I can't remember now. It's been a long time. So I don't know if I can appropriately answer the question, but I would do a little research on whether they can be farmed somewhere, because I seem to think that they can. Or maybe you can... I know you could redo some missions... or redo some enemies. So if you do that, you might be able to pick up on the sparks. You have to find out which enemies drops them and then go back and fight them and then log out, log back in, and then go back and fight them again. And you'll pick up on it then. I think that's probably what I did. I just don't recall. It's been a while. To get to the area where you're at, the Red Shroud, yeah, I did the same thing because I was like, man, I can't stand this Red Shroud thing anymore. It was driving me crazy. So I did the same thing you're doing. I wanted a one-man mission to try to just...
There is a path, isn't there? There's a path that kind of makes it stay down. You can go through the Red Shroud, kind of, can't you?
Yeah, there is a way to get around it. It's a long, long way around the map.
It says.
And basically, you're just kind of going like this, and you're flying over here, and then you're going over here, and then you're flying over here. And you can get to that area right there. There's a castle in the middle of a desert with some high-level enemies. Like all 25 level enemies. I think there's even one or two that are 26, 27, which is weird. But when you get to the castle, then you can find that glider because it's up on top. I believe, if I remember right, the chest that's all the way up on top.
Nice.
And you get the ultimate final glider that glides pretty far, which I have. So it's pretty cool. But yeah, it took a long time and hours for me to get what I needed to do for that. But it was fun the whole time. It was great. It was fun. So I really enjoyed it. Is anything you else want to say before I start my story?
No, carry on.
So I'm doing the new one now, and I'm not even sure why they call it update
Great.
Two.
Sorry, you guys like carry on. I've got a bit of an emergency. You carry on, okay? Do the quiz and whatnot.
Yep, no problem. So I did the new one again. I don't know why they call it update two, because it's really more of a DLC. A big chunk of the map has opened up. So I'm into the Myers, like I was kind of talking about yesterday. As I've been going further, what I really liked was I was in an area right now where trying to travel from one decrepit building to another is a problem, because the Myers, if you fall into it, you sink down and you're dead. So basically, I was able to find a small settlement of those funny-looking bear people. I don't know what they call them. that were there. So I was able to get around. I killed everybody in there and I took over their base because I don't like building bases in this game. I just like to take them over. So I found that they had a nice base. So I just put an altar down there so that I could now, take over and basically construct. So what I did was I extended the range of my altar so I could build out. And now what I did was I just went ahead and started building a stone walkway across the mire to the next section. And I plan on trying to build another one to go across the mire to the other section. And now it'll be easier for me to walk from place to place to place to try to look for the things I need. Because the main thing is when you get to this point, there's a very large, there's a large structure, but it has four gates all around it. And every one of the gates you can't open. They're locked. So somewhere in this big area, you're going to be able to find the key or whatever it is to open it, but they don't tell you, because you got to explore. So God knows whether I'll find it in 30 minutes or a whole hour. I have no idea, but that's okay. Because the thing about I love this game is I don't care because there's so many things to explore and find and figure out. And it's just, the game is this extension, or I'm calling it a DLC, is just as fun as the other part of the game. I mean,
I haven't played in Charlotte yet. I saw people play it, but I can't really speak for it. It is your basic run-of-the-mill survival game, right? Or with
no, it's not. That's the cool thing about it. Okay, Most of the survival games that I didn't like, the aspect that I didn't like about a lot of the survival games, is that if you don't drink, you die. If you don't eat, you die.
I hate that.
Yeah. Right. Well, guess what? That's not in this game. It is and it isn't. And the reason I'm saying that is because if you want to drink water or whatever, fine. And that water or whatever will give you a buff of some of a certain kind if you wish to do that. But they don't force you to do that. The same thing with the food. If there's a lot of food, there's ways to cook the food. There's ways to get certain buffs from certain pieces of food. But if you don't want to eat any food, you don't have to, and you can still play the game. No problem. So it gives you the aspects of those things that you like, but without you dying for it. If you're going to die, you're going to die because you're fighting the enemies, and stuff, and which happens, of course, a bunch. Not a soul's kind of like dying, but you do die. that was a major thing for me because I'm sitting there going, are you kidding? I don't have to worry about that anymore if I don't want to? Great. So I just kept playing the game, and it's got all the aspects just like a good game. There's farming you can do if you want it, if you're into farming. If you're not, you don't have to farm.
If you stream again, I shall watch it. I mean, typically I don't really like this kind of games, but that doesn't mean that it's bad per se. So maybe there's one that can actually convince me. So.
Here's another thing that everybody's talked about, but I'm not into it, is that the building in this game is supposed to be so good that there's nothing like it out there, bar anything, period. It's like a wonderful, wonderful building game. So I don't really like to build. I mean, some people really do, and that's great. I have more power to them. But I find it boring, so I don't want to build. So I'm sitting there going like, oh, great, so now you got to build, or you can't get through the game. No, you can get through the whole game without building a damn thing. Mm-hmm. So, but the thing that I do is that they have, throughout the map as you're exploring, they have these little cities, and sometimes it's a bigger city, or whatever you want to call it, a city, and you can take it over. So there's existing structures where you just go there, wipe out the enemies, whether it's easy or hard, and then once you get rid of all the enemies, you can put down your altar, because you cannot put down an altar if there's enemies there. But if you get rid of all the enemies, you can put down an altar, and you immediately own that area, or at least as far as the altar will let you. And then as you expand the power of your altar, the building zone moves out farther and farther and farther until you can practically encompass the entire area of whatever it is you like. And I've never seen a mechanic like that. I thought it was great. I'm sitting there going like, all right, this is it, man. So I didn't have to do anything. All I had to do once in a while is build a couple sidewalks and patch a hole or two, but I didn't have to freestyle build anything. So this is what I like in Shrouded. It gives you the opportunity to do all these things on the fly if you want to. If you don't like this, you do something else. If you don't like that, you do something else. And it gives you those
like Elden Ring then, but...
but not Souls-like, so... And the enemies are tough. There's some tough enemies, but it's not on the it's not the level of Elden Ring as far as goes.
Oh well,
but it's a lot of fun.
Maybe I'll get around to play it sometime, though. I'm not saying no to it.
Yeah. What we're going to do is, if you didn't know, Trav had to leave on a little minor emergency, so we're going to just continue on. Sure. We do have our world famous Lord quiz, as we call it.
Oh boy, I haven't looked at these questions yet, so okay. Surprises.
I haven't either, and I don't know the answers. I have the answers in front of me that I have to click on, and then I would reveal the answer, but I don't know what they are either. So if anybody, you know, we're going to try to see what we can do or guessing it or whatever. And then if anybody in the chat thinks that they might know the answer to the question, you know, chime in and then we can do it. Oh, Trev's back. Hey, Trev.
Hi.
All good?
Yep.
Just in time for the quiz. I hope everything worked out. So,
well, I might be sad again after this quiz. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah. Same here.
All right. We're going to do what we did the last couple of weeks. We're going to read one question at a time and then we'll all take a guess and see if we're right. All right, first question is, what was the first gaming console to have internal memory?
We were just talking about that before. The old consoles who didn't have that built in and you were kind of screwed. Right, give me a minute to think about this one.
You know anything about that, Hans?
I think it was an Amiga, but don't ask me which one.
built in memory to save.
Well, Amiga
games,
was a computer though. So
they had
something. I remember I have an article here about it somewhere in one of those old magazines. Amiga, they made this gaming like console with discs or something. I'm not sure the first. Right. I don't know. Sorry.
It's got to be a console. An Amiga was a computer. Or am I wrong?
Amiga was a computer, but I think you might be right. Amiga may have done a console.
Yeah, they did something console-like with a disc, and it's so fake. No, sorry, I couldn't tell you.
I think I know the answer to this. Do you guys want to take a stab before I give my answer?
I'm going to go with the Amiga, but...
Yeah, great. Yeah,
Amiga.
No, I don't know.
I think... Now, he says internal memory. He doesn't say if that's RAM or... I mean, it's probably a hard drive because you need RAM and anything like that to run... And I found this out recently, if it's correct, I hope it is. I think it's the original. Now, I'm not including memory cards because you have to plug something in to get that.
Yeah.
So the first games console that had a hard drive built in was the original Xbox. And then they took it out in the 360 and made it optional to get it. So I think it's the original Xbox.
Okay. I'm going to go with the Amiga, but I don't know which it's called. Sorry.
Right.
Okay. All right, you ready for the reveal?
Yeah, everyone know now. Probably the Xbox anyway, but still.
Everybody's wrong. The Sega Saturn shipped with 1 megabyte of internal memory.
There you go.
Wow, Dab, the Sega Saturn, I liked that console as well. It was a major flop. That was the tiniest hard drive I've ever seen. Damn.
It's so funny when I'm seeing the 1 megabyte of internal memory. Wow, that's massive.
See, that is interesting because Modern Vintage Gamer, who's a big YouTuber, said it was the Xbox. I'm so confused. But then internal memory and a hard drive are maybe different in this respect. So,
Good question.
All right. You ready for the next one?
Cool.
Yep.
All right. The reference to a, quote, stolen sweet roll has been a running gag with what game developer? One more time. The reference to a stolen sweet roll.
That's easy.
Has been a running gag with what game developer?
Pass.
The Elder Scrolls.
What is it? Elder Scrolls? Okay.
Yeah.
Did you play that, Hans?
Well, it says developer, so that means you have to pick...
Bethesda then. Yeah, whatever.
Bethesda, right.
I don't know.
What do you think?
Pass. Sorry.
I'm gonna agree with the Hans because I don't know what the hell it is.
Cheat.
All right, here we go. Reveal time. Yep, you're right, Hans. Very good. Bethesda.
Yeah. There's memes about it even so.
All right, moving on to the third. What classic video game was named because the creator misunderstood a translation?
Oh.
What classic video game was named because the creator misunderstood a translation?
If you're into retro games, you should know this one.
Cheney.
I'm not, so I won't know
Cheney, you should know the answer to this
one. Cheney, you still out there?
And don't cheat. Don't look in internets. You should know.
If you want me to say it, so my answer to say.
Say your answer. Sure.
Donkey Kong Arcade.
Donkey Kong Arcade. Okay.
That's my answer. I could be wrong, but I'm 99% sure it's the Donkey Kong thingy.
It rings a bell, but I can't say for sure. I'm going to plead the fifth.
Because they thought donkey meant stupid, like stupid monkey and that kind of stuff.
Ah, yeah. Well, is it that particular version of Donkey Kong? Or I think is it Donkey Kong?
I think the arcade one was the first one, so I'm guessing.
Well, arcade was the first one.
Right.
There you go.
So. Okay. Before they did anything.
Put us out of our misery, mate.
I don't know if Chaney's still there. Maybe he just can't get to the typing it.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah, it could be.
All right. All right. Well, I guess we're going to have to go for the reveal. You ready?
Donkey Kong sounds right.
Donkey Kong was named because the creator thought that donkey meant stupid in English.
Yeah. Say there you
Boom.
Go.
Boom.
Hey.
Man, Hans, you're 2 for 3.
Wow. You're good.
2 out of 3. So.
Yeah, that's pretty darn good.
Not bad. Thank you to Chaney for coming in nice and late. It's all right. We'll let you off, mate. And thank you for Lord for the quiz. Love it.
Thanks, Lord. It was fun.
Yep. We'll have more next time around. Lord's been giving us the quiz every week for the last few weeks. So all good. So I think we're going to wrap it up here. We will be back again next week. And I have a bunch of other stuff to talk about. Again, remember our Discord. discord.gg/extreme gaming podcast, all one word. Also, if you join our Discord, we're going to have a social night on July 21st, which is a Sunday at 7 p.m. UK time. We had one just not quite a month ago, and it was a blast. We played a bunch of games online and just cracked up. Alcohol is optional, whatever you want to do, so just come and join us. We had a lot of fun with that. So until you see us again next week. I appreciate you guys for being here.
Don't forget GGR. We're recording that.
Oh, yes. Sorry, GGR. Saturday. We're going to record a new episode.
So by the end of the weekend, hopefully you'll get the new episode up and running. And yeah.
And before you know it, there will be a Trekway coming out because Prodigy comes July 1st.
Woo. And they're I just need to figure out what the hell I'm doing with that, man. Well, goddamn Netflix. Don't drop everything at once. You're ruining my plans.
That's basically their MO. So they're going to do it anyway. Yeah, so, I said, thanks, guys, for coming along. We had a good time, and hope everybody out there had a good time. And I'm sure you listen to it, you will.
And stay for the raid if you can. I'm going to raid someone. Just say hi or give them abuse or something. I don't know. You can decide.
Okay. Do I have to stall for time?
No, you don't have to do nothing, mate. You can wrap it up, my friend.
Okay. All right. We'll see you all next week. Everybody say bye.
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 Oh, man, it's hot. I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart. In my heart I have but one desire, and that one is you. No other will do.